Good afternoon, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. It's a Tuesday, so therefore we are talking with politics and everything like that. And in the studio with me, this is a tape show, so I'm not going to be doing any phone calls today. We taped this earlier in the week, and Tuesday's my political day. So in the studio here with me, I have the Attorney General of the State of Alaska, Treg Taylor. How you doing, sir?
Doing well, David. Great to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for coming into Fairbanks. Thank you for sitting in my office, my recording studio. You're in a purple padded room, so be careful. We got a Barney color here. I have North Korean equipment that I record you with, and hopefully we'll get through this. But if we don't, again, we'll get through it. Anyway, how you doing?
Doing well. I like the purple. During Siri training while I was at the Air Force Academy, that was the song that played in the prisoner of war camp over and over again, was the Barney theme song. So that's about enough to drive any man crazy.
Yeah, so it was more painful for you than it was for me.
Well, that was the year before I participated in the program, so I didn't have to suffer through that. But certainly I got a lot of feedback from the people in the class in front of me.
Attorney General of the State of Alaska, but first, for the first part of the show, let's who you are, what you are, and how you got there, and how you met your incredible wife. That's a story in itself.
Yeah, everybody wonders how I landed Jody, so we'll get there. But yeah, I grew up as both my parents school teachers, and so education was always kind of the expectation in my family. I didn't think that I could get anything but A's in school, so that was very helpful in my upbringing.
I had a different upbringing with expectation of school.
Well, that's one of the things I credit my parents with, is that I really didn't even think that there was an option of not getting A's in my classes growing up. Obviously, education very important in our household, and I heard all the talk about their days from the kitchen table every night about what they thought was wrong with education, what they thought was right with education. But I grew up actually in Alberta, Canada. They both taught on an Indian reservation there, the largest one in Canada. And so my first memories are playing with my, the good strikers and the weasel fats and the rest of the gang on that reservation. So that was quite an interesting upbringing, culturally, especially every Friday, Saturday night, powwows, those types of events really kind of introduced me to a whole different culture than I was used to. But my parents divorced when I was fairly young, and I followed my mom to Iowa, which is where she was born and raised, and so lived on the banks of the Mississippi there for... Oh, geez.
Most people don't realize how far that Mississippi goes up into the Midwest.
Yeah, no, and it's a big river by the time it gets down to Burlington, where I spent, 5 years or so of my life growing up, and did middle school there in Iowa, and first year of high school there. And then my mom took a teaching job in Utah, and so I followed her out to Utah and finished high school there in Utah. From there, applied. Even as a kid growing up in Canada, odd dream for a kid from Canada to want to go to the United States Air Force Academy. But I loved everything aviation. I loved fighters specifically. And so that was my dream. I always wanted to be a fighter pilot. And so ended up at the Air Force Academy. Your first year is pretty rough. Some of my fondest memories are of that first year, though. You look back with, and you just...
You were a plebe.
I was a plebe, yep. And you're subhuman for most of that year.
That's a polite term.
You take it in the teeth, but through it all, you grow a ton. And then your hardest academically is your second year, and that's when you start all your core engineering courses and those... I wanted to serve a mission for my church. I always knew that I wanted to do that. And so they worked with the church to learn how to deal with the academies that said, hey, because normally you'd leave when you're 19. Mm-hmm. And so they wanted us to stick around those 2 years, didn't figure anybody would come back after the first year. And so left after my second year for my mission, served in the Canary Islands, just off the coast of Africa, about 40 miles out from Morocco.
Yeah.
That was an amazing experience for 2 years to serve people of the Canary Islands. And of course, I learned a lot about who I was and what I wanted to do. And And the funny thing about the whole experience was at the end of it, you know, I had to reapply back to the academy. I got renominated by Senator Orrin Hatch out of Utah, and they sent me a paper. All I had to do was sign it, and I struggled. I wanted to sign that thing so bad. I tried for 2 weeks to convince myself that what I was feeling in my gut was not right, that I really needed to go back to the academy. And, you know, it was a hard decision, too, because I felt like I was letting the academy down, letting the church down by not returning to the academy. You know, they've worked very nicely letting young men go out on missions from the academies. And so I didn't want to wreck that for future cadets. And but ultimately, about 2 weeks into it, I couldn't sleep, couldn't focus on my work I'm supposed to be doing. And really frustrated, just dropped to my knees one morning and said, fine, I'll do what you want me to do. And it was at that moment I knew exactly what I was supposed to do. And it was not to do my dream, which was to fly and go back to the Air Force Academy. And, you know, funny, my wife going through my journals at the time, years later, realized that I'd made that decision on her birthday. So quite fitting.
Wow.
Yeah. And so when I returned from my mission, I met my wife the first week back at school when I'd started at Brigham Young University. And it took some convincing because she thought I was awkward. I was working multiple jobs at the time trying to put myself through school.
Ready to turn into a swan.
Yeah, well, she saw potential in me apparently nobody else was seeing at the time. I know when we started dating, her parents were very nervous about me. They did not know who this kid was, didn't know whether, you know, I could even provide for their daughter. I think they were very worried. In fact, the night before we got married, her dad sat us down and said, are you sure you two want to get married? And I replied, sir, I love your daughter. Of course I want to marry her tomorrow. And he goes, I wasn't talking to you. So then I was in this awkward position of looking over.
Thanks, dad, yeah. In-law, future. Yeah.
So then I'm looking at Jody, wondering what answer she's going to give. Like, you know, and so.
Don't let me be hanging, honey.
Yeah, luckily, you know, she affirmed that she did indeed want to marry me the next morning. And so it's been 26 plus years now, six children. Most of those born, you know, our youngest was born in undergrad, actually, at Brigham Young University. The rest born here in Alaska. And it's pretty awesome. My kids are, you know, I'm a transplant, but my kids are fourth generation Alaskans, and I love that about them.
Great.
Yep.
Wow. After graduating from Brigham Young, you met Jody during your term there. What did you first do when you graduated?
So, you know, with the undergrad, I decided to go to law school pretty late in the process. And mm-hmm. So the LSAT, which is the exam to sort of get into law school, they offer it at various times a year. But the last LSAT they offer that year isn't accepted by most law schools until the following year. And so I took that last LSAT, and I luckily did really, really well on it.
You had competition for you.
Yeah, that's right. and I thought I was going to have to do something for a year. So we're trying to figure out, do we move back to Alaska? Do I work for a year? How is this going to look? And then BYU got a hold of my score and said, hey, we love your score. We'd love you to come this year, and we'll give you a scholarship. And so it was a no-brainer at that point. We needed to move on with our lives and get that degree. Come back to Alaska, and that's what we did.
Wow, goodness. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break at the moment. We'll be back after these messages with more from Craig Taylor, Attorney General, State of Alaska. Fairbanks, welcome back. Hopefully you're enjoying your beautiful Tuesday here. I know I am. Attorney General, you know, there's a lot you go through professionally before you get there. When you got out of law school, well, first of all, what was law school like?
Law school was pretty stimulating, actually. You know, I really enjoy learning. That's the number one thing in life, I think, that keeps things interesting is continue to learn. You know, my wife's family introduced me into the construction world, and so before I married my wife, I had, you know, nary picked up a screwdriver, let alone, you know, remodel a house or an apartment complex. And so those are the types of things that I really enjoyed. And so law school was, you know, we had a child at the time. We knew We had to figure out where we were going to spend our future, and I'm really fortunate that things really worked out well in Alaska, and we ended up coming back to the state because we'd come up in the summers. You know, again, we're kids trying to put ourselves through school, and Alaska was such a great place to make a earn money in the summer, so we could afford school. And so when Jody agreed that the right thing was to come back to Alaska, I was overjoyed because I'd fallen in love with the state by that point.
Wow. Where did you start your professional career at?
So I started at a litigation defense firm, DeLisio Moran, Garrity and Zobel. You know, Mike Garrity later became the attorney general for the state of Alaska.
So he grew up down the street from him.
Yeah, so he grew up here in Fairbanks. Yeah. Fairbanks.
Garrity Street.
Is there
Gem
really a
company. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
G was for Garrity.
Yeah. I didn't know that. That's great to know. But he was my supervisor, and I spent about 5.5, 6 years at DeLisio learning from him. Really appreciate his mentorship, and it was a great firm to work for. We had some great clients and some great cases that we did.
That's an incredible firm with all the attorney generals that have come out of there.
Well, there's been a few,
yeah.
And then of course the Zobel name's pretty famous or infamous, depending on who you are in Alaska. If you're a longtime Alaska, probably not so much. If you're new to Alaska and receiving a PFD, probably really like the Zobel name.
You know. I remember the Zobels, and I think what they did was something honorable, because the suit that they brought overall treated everyone the same, no matter what. Everyone was treated the same because of Mr. and Mrs. Zobel.
Yep, whether you're sourdough or a chichaco, are treated the same.
And my definition of a Fairbankson is you're a Fairbankson when you voluntarily spend your second winter.
Yeah, if you could prove that, I think you're
crazy like the rest of us.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Fairbanks in the summer, anybody can love, right? So but it sure is beautiful in the winter too. After that, I realized, I played team sports through high school and through college. And so I knew I just felt like I was missing something in the firm. We're kind of hired gun, you go to war over one issue and then you're done. And that company moves on. And I knew I kind of wanted something different. And so when McKinley Capital, Bob Gillum's company, reached out to me and asked me if I wanted to come in on board and be in-house counsel, I jumped at that. And that was an amazing experience.
He was something else. His son Rob is great, but Bob, there was no one. They don't make them like they used to.
Yeah, Bob was an amazing boss. Love Rob as well. But yeah. Bob was one of those guys that, that had a vision for what he wanted to do in Alaska, purposely built a business in Alaska because he wanted to strengthen the economic outlook for Alaska and give economic opportunity.
The visions that he had, you just don't find that.
Yeah, no, really purposefully driven. And the other part I really loved about Bob Gillum is that he would grow an individual within the company.
Yeah.
If you started at the front desk, and you wanted to go on to be a trader or a portfolio manager, he would support that and he'd help you the entire way.
And every year he hired someone from University of Alaska. Yeah. Every year.
Yeah.
A graduate.
Yeah. He was a great boss and a great person to work under and learn from, And then I knew, that if I wanted to continue to grow professionally, again, I'm really interested in keeping that growth and keeping learning. And I knew I would eventually have to get in the oil and gas industry in Alaska to get that growth. And so I started looking for opportunities after about 6 years at McKinley. And an opportunity came up at ASRC Energy to be the attorney for sort of their energy subsidiaries, energy service companies. And they had about 12 at the time, some in the lower 48, most of them up here in Alaska. And so that's what I did. And then I was asked if I was willing to come over to the state to participate in the Department of Law. And that happened. I didn't know Mike Garrity at the time.
Yeah.
And it was just not Mike Garrity, but Mike Dunleavy.
Yeah.
And I didn't know him, but we had a lot of mutual friends. And I think those friends were sort of saying, hey, you should really look at Treg Taylor for over at the Attorney General's office. And so I was really happy when I got that invite. And because again, as a kid, I wanted to serve. That's primarily what I was thinking when I wanted to be a fighter pilot, and I think that's where I gain the most joy is when I find myself in service of others and and to serve our state in such an important time. You know, I happened to be the Attorney General during all 4 years of the Biden administration.
I was going
to
bring that up. Yeah. That's later. Oh boy.
Okay.
I mean, my God. Yeah. but when you got out of your vehicle and you walked up to this building, and you saw that we are located above the public defender's office, what went through your mind?
Oh, you know, that's
the battle.
It's a necessary part of the justice system.
And it's
broken if both sides aren't advocating 100% for their position. And so that's why the George Soros type prosecutors are so dangerous to the system of justice, because you don't have that. You don't have both sides.
You don't have the Socrates Act.
That's exactly right. And it's what's required for justice to be served. You know, justice always doesn't get it right, but it does require that.
And with the state of Alaska, they do it right because the public defender's office is under the Department of Administration. You have no oversight because you're in a whole different
department. Yes,
and your philosophies, you know, you can't represent both sides.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and that's why we have that separation literally from different department representing those that are accused of crimes in the state of Alaska.
So you joined the legal department, the Attorney General's office, as Attorney General or as a attorney?
So I came over to be the deputy. So the deputy that runs the civil side. So there's kind of two sides to the Department of Law. One is the criminal side. That's about half the attorneys, about 150 attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
And then the civil side, about another 150 attorneys are on that side. And so I came over to run the civil side.
On the criminal side, Joe Deliar, Fairbanks, great guy.
Yeah, he's your
guy.
He's your Fairbanks DA, and then there's a division director above him, and then a deputy above him as well. So, he is the DA for Fairbanks.
And his daughter goes to events to sing the Alaska flag song. She is, I mean, this all of a sudden this eighth grader comes out and he's going, wow, that's a voice. That's an America's Got Talent voice.
Yeah, you're not the only person that has mentioned that to me when Joe Delaire's come up. I don't know if he knows he's more famous for his daughter.
His daughter's more famous than him.
than he is for being the district attorney. Anytime as a parent you're able to have that kind of kudos for your kids, I mean, that means more than any cooties you could ever receive.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's, not too taken back by the
he's warmed. Yeah, he's yeah, my goodness. So you were on the civil side. You weren't there under the Obama administration, were you? Because that would have been just as bad.
No. So we were there. I was under the civil side, principally under Trump 1.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, you know, the way that worked out, you know, I think God, the way it worked out. I mean, but that eventually stepped into that AG role, and that's been a real opportunity to serve the state in that role. I mean, it just the things I get to do on a day to day basis, I'm just blown away by, and the good that we do for the people of Alaska, I'm blown away by.
Before we take our bottom of the hour break, let's look at some numbers, statistics. President Biden put in 70 executive orders against Alaska in his 48 months of being in office. So once every 2 weeks, there is an executive order against Alaska's resource development or whatever it was that you were having to battle.
That is what those 4 years were. And they can, you know, we have probably corresponding to those 70 pieces of executive orders directly aimed at Alaska, we've got a piece of litigation directly corresponding with that. And so it's kept us busy. We went to the state. We had this idea of the statehood defense where we knew we were going to be under attack because, you know, he campaigned on 30 by 30. So 30% of lands, 30% of water in conservation by 2030.
Yeah.
And we knew his main target was going to be Alaska, right?
We're the big one.
Out of sight, out of mind, turn this into a national park.
Don't touch the big donor states.
That is 100% what the plan was. And so we knew it was coming. And fortunately, I was, you know, the Attorney General for several months leading up to that point. And so we actually, we got together multiple times in mid-COVID, you know. And so the Republican AGs.
Oh, that's right. There was COVID, too. Yeah. And that's pretty tough, you know.
It was an interesting start to being the Attorney General. But, you know, through working with our counterparts, the counterparts and the other conservative AGs out there Republicans in those other states was the key for us being able to take on the battle that we had in Alaska, because I knew that these other cases that we would love to engage on, love to lead, but just didn't have the bandwidth or the money to lead, that those other states were going to take those on. And we could join that litigation, or we could join in an amicus position. And the other beauty about that is, you know, those other AGs could avoid the Ninth Circuit.
Yeah.
And that was key in that battle. And the winning percentage of the Republican AGs during the Biden administration is above 60%. And if you look at it, I think
and look where you're at. You're at the Ninth Circuit Court,
right?
Quite well, not as liberal as it used to be, but hey, look at Judge Gleason. Yeah. I'll say the name.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's supposed to be a panel on the Ninth Circuit that we could draw that would be a little more friendly. We've yet to draw that panel, so yeah. I'm still waiting for that day. But to be able to litigate all these other issues that are important to Alaskans with the help of other AGs was key to us being able to take on the battle, that the all-out war that was on Alaska by that administration.
Leap year happens once every 4 years. You will get that panel one day. Fairbanks, with that, we're going to take a commercial break. We're going to give you some bumper music here, some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, then some weather. And baby, it's nice outside. And we'll be back, I'd say, in about 3 minutes.